And ladies and gentlemen, it's Mondays and Fridays when we congregate with some real wisdom, some people who know what's going on. Brother Johnny today from the center of the universe, Philo, Illinois. Johnny?
Steve, DJ, like your weather. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you in Philo, Illinois. Mike Ditka's in Chicago, the Windy City. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. Good. Everything's good.
All right. We have to begin with the whole Rutgers story.
Rutgers head basketball coach Mike Rice is out less than 24 hours after ESPN's Outside the Lines aired video footage of Rice physically abusing players. The school made the announcement on Wednesday in a statement. Rice met with athletic director Tim Pernetti on Wednesday. Pernetti took responsibility for the decision to attempt to rehabilitate Rice, saying in a statement, dismissal and corrective action were debated in December. Pernetti went on to say he was wrong to think rehabilitation was in everyone's best interest. The footage revealed by former director of player development Eric Murdoch features Rice throwing basketballs at a player's head, kicking a player, and using a homophobic slur directed at a player. After ESPN aired a portion of the video Tuesday, the National College Players Association, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and members of the Miami Heat, including LeBron James, spoke out against Rice.
Can't say anything right now except I'm sorry, and there will never be a time where I'm going to use any of that as an excuse. Will there be any excuse? I've let so many people down. My players, my administration, Rutgers University, the fans, my family who's sitting in their house just huddled around because of the fact that their father was an embarrassment to them.
And Mike Ditka, what's the line? You yelled at players, you yelled at guys. What's the line here?
Well, I think sometimes, I think the pressure to win, the pressure to be the best, the pressure to succeed, sometimes these guys overstep their bounds. I mean, I'm the last one to say I never lost my temper, but never in the vein of throwing anything at a player or touching a player or anything like that. I might have hollered at him, but that would be all I would have done. And it was just in the fact that it was a mistake he made on the field or something. And that's not even right. I don't even tolerate that. It just happened to be me, my personality. So, I can't be who I'm not. But, what Mike, I don't know. I can't comprehend it because I don't know how you can do that. I'm sorry. These are college kids or whether it could be high school kids or whether you're out of high school. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think you're going to get their attention any more by doing it that way than some other way.
Yeah, I think you're right, my coach. You're going to get in the heat of the battle, and you have to be able to know how far you can go. When I was playing through the years in various sports, you always had a coach or a helper that would kind of go a little bit off the rails, trying to help coach. And sometimes they were just caught up in the moment and like Mike said, trying to figure out how to get you to play better. But, you can't start throwing stuff, Steve. You can't start hitting players. Even Bob Knight was called down for throwing a chair. So, you gotta have some discipline. Half of winning in anything you do is discipline. Mm-hmm. So you can go to a certain point. And then you just have to know when, as far as you can go.
And I think it's a shame, too. I'm sure the man is a talented coach, it's probably going to be a lifetime regrettable decision that he made to do this because I don't know that he's ever going to get another job or a job that would be appealing enough. I just don't know. I don't know. People, they have a hard time forgiving something like that. I don't know. I don't think very many people, you look at universities or athletic directors or presidents or whatever, I don't think they're gonna look at that and say, we can't handle this.
And so the president and the athletic director saw this tape, in December, decided to try and rehab him.
Yeah.
Now people are calling for their dismissal saying, how could you look at this, what we saw, and not think the same things and get rid of them immediately.
Well, you know, I think the natural tendency, you know, whether it's right or wrong, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, is, oh, boy, man, this guy's a pretty good guy. Let's see if we can work this out first, okay? But, I mean, if we're going to pull the gun out and shoot somebody automatically every time something goes wrong, I think we got to be careful doing that, too.
Yeah, and I think that's, I agree with that 100%, because you want to try to see, okay, well, where is the problem? Is this unfixable? And I'm sure you sit down and talk to the guy, the straightforward guy, say, hey, Jimmy, you can't keep doing this, or your job's gone, and you got to get over it. Yeah. But, you know, there's another point that's interesting, Steve, about oversight and what goes on. So it takes somebody getting a tape or something somehow, and then leaking it to a news agency to get attention to where people see it, and there are different levels of tolerance for it, but people see it and then say, what? This is shocking. Yeah. And yet, you could go to a practice, you could go, if you're an administrator, you could check in, see how it's going. You should know more than I knew nothing about this.
Right, right.
When you got a guy spending really 24/7 with your kids in a way. And so that's interesting that, oh my gosh, how could this be going on? The guy's been over there. Mike, you know,
it wasn't like you couldn't find out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Throwing the basketball thing, I never, I don't understand any of that.
But people, what I'm saying is people would have heard about these things.
Yeah.
It
isn't
like it was, you had to have that kind of evidence.
And the other point I had is what if Mike Rice at Rutgers would have been to 3 Final Fours? Would this have been excusable?
Good question.
Well, I'm not sure. That I mean, I don't know. I don't. To me, you know, I understand it, and I still think that, you know, I understand the part about, well, let's see if we can rehab this thing or get it right. And but it continued. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think you could. I don't care if you win 10 national fours or whatever it is.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure, though, Mike, that it actually continued. What happened is they tried to rehab him, but then someone released the tape.
Well, because it disgruntled former employee,
I saw that. I saw that, too, and I'm sure. And that's what it comes down to. And it's in this day and age, you've got to be, I mean, as a coach or anybody, you've got to be really, really careful.
Well, I mean, don't you have to live your life every day, no matter where you are, what time of the day, what back alley you are, and pretend you're on TV, because you are, because everybody has a phone.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. You got to watch your behavior at parties. I mean, think of the old NFL parties where guys got kind of rowdy.
Oh my God! Well, come on, man, you couldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what's out there. I mean, because you can capture it with your phone. It's just change a dynamic.
It doesn't take much of a slip to get you in trouble either.
No, not at all.
You know, if you get that 5 seconds of bad on tape, it's like you're in trouble.
Yeah, it is amazing dynamic we live in with the social media and the access we have. 743, it's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. It's ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3. We'll touch on Roger Ebert. We talk about Auburn. Are they in trouble again? We're back with more after these sponsors. And there are messages for Mike Ditka, Flooring Surfaces, Lands Heating and Cooling, and Max Recycling. We're back in 2 minutes. 95.3, I'm going to be broadcasting live from the broadcast booth at Busch Stadium Monday for the Cardinals opening day at Busch. I'll be there live in the booth talking to Mike and Johnny from St. Louis on Monday morning. I'm excited about that. Where Stan Musial will not be there, Mike. And, of course, Stan the man, he was your guy, too.
93 years old, I think. He just I tell the story. I got the greatest painting of him in my bedroom in Florida, autographed to me by him. You know, it has all the stats and records on it. And it's a beautiful painting of Stan. And actually, I got balls signed by him, a bat signed by him. So you know, I was a big fan. I really was, and he was one of the most gracious of all the athletes, anybody would tell you.
Did he influence you, Mike, at all? Did he influence the way you talk to fans at Stanley?
Well, he was a real guy. I mean, he was just one of the people, and I think that's important. Athletes have to understand that, you know, we're nowhere without the fans. Once the audience leaves, you know, when they turn off the lights, the play's over. and people don't understand it. They think you're just going to keep on playing in the dark. Well, nobody's going to be listening to you or watching you. So, I mean, they count. The fans are really what it's all about. I mean, you know, that's why they pay big money to put this stuff on TV.
Well, Mike, you kind of reflect that whole thinking. So if that was Stan the man, that's what Mike Ditka has become. Because I look at you the same way, Johnny. He's the same way with people. It's unbelievable how good he is with people.
Well, that takes another level of discipline because after a while, you know, it can wear you out. But Mike's been incredible.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I got the restaurant, so you know it happens in there a lot. That's okay, and that's important to me because people come in there. If I'm too busy to be able to say hello or take a picture with them or sign an autograph for them, then I mean I shouldn't be in the business anyway.
Well,
so
I wish you.
And that's the way Musial was. He had Stan and Biggie's that restaurant. He was there shaking hands, meeting people at the door. I mean, it was really nice. I mean, I walked down the stairs and I see people looking. I said, you know, so I have to go over and ask. I said, do you want a picture, autograph, stuff? Because, you know, I know they do, but they don't want to ask.
Yeah.
You know?
Steve, you'll be down there talking to all kinds of cardinals.
Yeah, sometimes they say, give me 100. I said, no, I got no 100.
I tell you what, though, it's amazing to watch you with your fans, Mike, and just think if you were ever to get $5 for every request, how much money you'd have. Because, I mean, boy, they ask you all the time with pictures, holding babies, talking to cell phones. Signing this, signing that's amazing. All right, Auburn looks like there's at least questions. Did they pay players? I mean, here we go again, Johnny. These stories come up. You hear players, former players, and then other guys come out and say, that's not true. It's hard to know exactly what goes on.
Yeah, it's hard, and sometimes it really is hard because you might have an alumni doing it and the other guys don't know about it, and then you might not have it happening at all. But boy, to recruit players, Mike, how do you get them to come to your school? They got a bunch of people after them, and they're all great institutions. But I've always wondered, if I was coaching at that level, how would you really talk a kid into coming?
Well, because, John, it's changed over the years. The idea of getting an athletic scholarship over a period of time was one thing. You were going to be given in return for your athletic talents the chance to get an education and a degree from college. That's what it was about. Nothing else.
Right.
It's an exchange. Your talents on the field will help us be able to support and pay for your scholarship at the University of Pittsburgh, Illinois, Pennsylvania, wherever. And it's all changed from that now. So to entice the better athletes, who are not the better students, by the way, as we know, then you've got to entice them with little benefits here or there, or money here or under the table here. Now, when I went to school, I think we got $14 and 36 cents a month. That was supposed to be for laundry. I swear, all the years I was in college, and listen, I was a pretty big name at Pitt, and I never got a thing, never took a thing. I'd get $20 from my mother, my father. I'm serious. And I never did. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't. There were other guys on the team that didn't have half the success I did, who did get, they had those boosters. Mm. And I never cared about that. You know, and so, you know, at least I had no obligation to anybody else in that vein. So when I got my tickets, I gave them to the family.
Yeah. Well, it's ongoing, particularly, I think, at the highest levels where the competitive spirit.
Well, one thing about the Auburn thing, though, Steve, you know, I read Coach Chizik's comments, and I really believe him. I really do. I think a lot of this stuff, you got to be careful because people fabricated a lot of this stuff because they're trying to bring down the system or bring down the athletic director or bring down the coach. And I disagree with a lot of them. These kids, in most cases, go with their hand out. I'm telling you now, you can say whatever you want to say, but they go with their hand out.
Hmm. I think there should be penalties imposed for guys taking stuff. Why don't we ever do that?
Absolutely. If you're going to penalize the university, what are you going to, or the coach or the university, what about the, but they don't care. They say, well, we'll just go on to the next level, which is professional football. They assume, or basketball or baseball or whatever.
Right. All right, Roger Ebert, Urbana native, University of Illinois, passes away.
Roger Ebert was way ahead of his time when it came to bickering on television during his movie review show, Siskel and Ebert.
This was the first time you could actually see two guys really kind of go at each other on television, but they both had really intelligent points to make.
Matt Atchity with RottenTomatoes.com says the duo and Ebert, long after Siskel's death, made movie criticism more accessible to the masses than it had ever been. all with a simple phrase.
And I give it a big thumbs up.
Even after cancer took his voice, Ebert continued doing reviews. Sabrina Sabah, Fox News Radio.
Huge front page story on Roger Ebert, Johnny. What a U of I guy we had there.
Right, you're no kidding. What a, and both Siskel and Ebert were died not very old. Roger wasn't that old.
70, and Siskel died when he was 53.
So, yeah, that was the first time we had a movie critic duo make kind of a hit in the media. And of course, he's done things at Illinois through the years, Steve.
Yeah, we have Ebert Fest, which begins in a week, and that's a kind of a film festival for unheralded, really good movies. And, you know, I think they were still planning on coming this time, and he announced his cancer had recurred, and he was going to back off, but he'd been obviously very ill. So
I tell you, it was pretty amazing because I've met both of them over the years, and really what they've done in that profession is unbelievable. But Roger Ebert's, one of his last statements before he passed away was, two thumbs up, I'll see you at the movies.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty classy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's pretty,
that's about all you can say. And then, you know, it's but these guys, you're right, they revolutionized. No, nobody knew anything about this rating.
Yeah,
going.
Right.
And
yep.
they were special. So I know I was doing my TV shows in Chicago when I was coaching, and they had their TV show, so I got to know them a little more.
Well, I tell you what, it's amazing how life works. So Roger's writing for the Chicago Sun-Times. He comes to work one morning. They say, Roger, we need you in the conference room. They call him in the conference room, and he's, you know, he wants to be Mike Royko. They tell him that day at the Sun-Times in Chicago, you're our new movie critic. He said, really? And that's how he said, I didn't know the job was open until I got in the conference room that morning, and they told me what I was going to do. And he wins a Pulitzer Prize. It's amazing.
That's pretty good stuff.
It's pretty amazing. All right, earlier in the hour, and one of the last items I'll bring up, airlines charging passengers based on weight. We are, Southwest already asked people that need two seats to buy two tickets, Johnny. Is this something that could fly, so to speak?
Well, if you want to fly, you better get your weight right. I'll get you that as far as the pilot. But that's not going to go over, but I understand what they're saying,
because
you pay for weight. It's just like a, you know, Federal Express package.
Yeah, but, John, you know, and I don't know, but I would say that how many instances you think that one person was too big to fit in one seat?
That's a good question.
I don't see it. I never seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I've sat next to someone who I wouldn't have had courage.
To me, it's amazing. I just don't understand it.
Five till, last question. K.T. McFarlane, who worked with Henry Kissinger and several presidents, is coming up here in about 10 minutes, and we're going to ask her about North Korea. K.T. McFarlane, in a column on FoxNews.com yesterday, said, sadly, but the reality is, the closest guy to the new North Korean leader might be Dennis Rodman. Mike,
yeah.
What kind of world do I live in right now?
Well, that's true. The kid is, the leader is really, he's an immature individual. And so, you know, you have those kind of people throughout history who've done very drastic things. But, you mean, to try to get, maybe we ought to send Rodman over to
I mean,
to
yeah. I mean
why not?
Hell
of a... Hey.
Hey, the kid likes shiny things, Johnny. It distracts him. Send Rodman over.
You know, that's fine. But, hey, Steve, I want to tell you about a Allerton Trails Half Marathon tomorrow at Allerton Park. You've been running. It's a 10K. You can go with the 10K and it's for Make-A-Wish, Illinois. So it's
are you going?
Call.
You going out there? Tomorrow?
I don't know. I might go out there. It's going to be.
Hey, go out, run for me, John.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. Mike, Johnny's run two 10Ks in the last 3 weekends. What's going on?
What a guy!
Look, it's too far, but it's fun, and it'd be nice out there at Allerton. You know, it's so pretty out there.
Unbelievable.
So
I mean, unbelievable. We got ourselves a marathoner, Mike. It's unbelievable. Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to call you from Busch Stadium's press box Monday morning, and we'll have another conversation as we reminisce and get ready for Cardinals opening day. But as always, Mondays and Fridays, terrific having both of you on.
All right.
Thanks,
Stevie. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling, Lands Heating and Cooling, and by Flooring Surfaces, where the world is at your feet. Always a pleasure. What a fun segment we have. And
you
I know
bet.
So many people tell me how much they enjoy hearing the candor. I mean, when they speak.
The common sense party
of
Mike Ditka.
It is, and he's not pulling anything. I mean, it's what he believes.